Okay, working in teams, Unit 10, barriers to success, reading early warning signs to hit team failure. The objectives of this unit are, 1, recognize key signals to team failure, 2, use appropriate response mechanisms to address team dysfunction, and 3, facilitate consistent scanning for symptoms of potential team failure. To have success in a healthcare environment where work and goals need to be met by various individuals working in groups, it is not finance, not strategy, not technology, but teamwork that remains the ultimate competitive advantage to get the work completed successfully. Teamwork is both powerful and rare in many instances. In this unit, you will learn the signals of dysfunctional teams, about appropriate strategies to address team dysfunction, and results that can be obtained when teams can function effectively and overcome their dysfunction. At this time, there is an activity. To get started, think about a team you have currently been on in the past or are currently participating in. We would like for you to answer the 5 questions. 1, is your team living up to their full potential? 2, is your team meeting the expectations of key stakeholders in your organization? 3, do you feel like it is impossible to make substantial progress towards your strategic goals? 4, is it an unproductive, conflict-ridden team causing low employee morale throughout your organization? And 5, have you tried everything conceivable to get your team to work together as a cohesive unit with little or no success? What are the answers to these questions? Are you on a functional team? Are all team members working well? Is it unproductive? Is there conflict? Think about it. Team dysfunction. According to Patrick Lencioni, noted author and management consultant, a team is, quote, a relatively small number of people that shares common goals as well as the rewards and responsibilities for achieving them, unquote. Seems logical enough. The author seems to suggest that if your group isn't a team, well, that's okay too, but regardless, be clear about who and what you are. The heavy lifting reference simply means that building a team, similar to any marriage or other worthwhile relationship, takes a considerable investment in time and emotional energy. A dysfunctional team, on the other hand, is one that lacks trust of other team members, lacks commitment, accountability, and shared goals. Are we really a team? Lencioni, author of the book The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, begins a discussion concerning overcoming the 5 dysfunctions of a team by asking 2 prominent questions that should be asked before any team building effort. 1, are we really a team? And 2, are we ready for heavy lifting?
Now there are some scenarios in HIT that we're going to discuss. There's been a request by an optometrist who is the owner of 3 different clinics, 1 optometrist in each clinic, that not only perform the eye exams, but offer a large inventory of eyeglass frames for sale. The optometrist would like to obtain a billing system that will not only bill the patient for eye exams, but for any purchases made for glasses. The system should also indicate when the patient is due to return and whether or not they bought eyeglasses at the last visit. The team is made up of 1 optometrist, 2 clinic assistants, 1 receptionist, and 1 office manager. The team meets for the first time with the owner's direction of obtaining a new electronic billing system. The team spends the majority of the time understanding what the purpose is and what each other's job roles entail. It becomes apparent that the team doesn't have the right composition to accomplish this charge from the owner. How could the team composition be modified to assure success in a task that they've been assigned?
Causes of team's dysfunction. Here are Lencioni's top 5 dysfunctions of a team he describes in his book. As you read, note if you've ever been in teams where these behaviors were experienced or demonstrated. Let's talk about each separately since they are so important to identify to prevent team dysfunction.
The team that was assigned to obtain the billing system has been meeting now for 3 weeks. The first 2 weeks, the optometrist was attentive and attended each meeting. For the last meeting, the optometrist was unavailable. No reason was given to the team for the meeting and did not send back the decisions that were indicated from the week 2 meeting that needed her sign-off. The team is hesitant to push the optometrist to make a decision due to impacting working relationships. Which causes have been identified? Is this the beginning of team dysfunction?
Now let's talk about the 5 dysfunctions outlined earlier. First is absence of trust. This occurs when team members are reluctant to be vulnerable with one another and are unwilling to admit their mistakes, weaknesses, or needs for help. Without a certain comfort level among team members, a foundation of trust is impossible.
The optometrist team has now been meeting for over 4 weeks. This past meeting brought to light that the person responsible for taking meeting minutes has been remiss in getting all the information that is discussed at the meeting and delivered on time to the team. The minute taker is adamant that the minutes are accurate, but the other team members are able to piece together their own meeting minutes into a cohesive accounting of what important decision content led to decisions. Identifying this weakness and mistake to the meeting taker has caused extra time for the team to correct the minutes. What can be done to help the minute taker for future meetings?
Second team dysfunction, fear of conflict. Teams that are lacking in trust are incapable of engaging in unfiltered, passionate debate about key issues, causing situations where team conflict can easily turn into veiled discussions and black channel comments. In a work setting where team members do not openly air their opinions, inferior decisions are the result.
Continuing with the optometrist scenario that's been described in the previous slides, the eyeglass salesman on the team is really passionate about the system being able to indicate whether or not the patient bought their glasses from the clinic at the last visit. The salesman has always felt as if his job was secondary to the clinic's business, when in fact it is the revenue gained above and beyond the eye exam. The optometrist feels that the time everyone is spending on the team is eating into revenue when patients could be seen. The eyeglass salesman struggles to clearly state the need for the system to capture the needed data for future sales. What can the eyeglass salesman do to assure the system contain the necessary functions for his department?
Another outlying team dysfunction is lack of commitment. Without conflict, it is difficult for team members to commit to decisions, creating an environment where ambiguity prevails. Lack of direction and commitment can make employees, particularly star employees, disgruntled. Another dysfunction, number four, is avoidance of accountability. When teams don't commit to a clear plan of action, even the most focused and driven individuals hesitate to call their peers on actions and behaviors that may seem counterproductive to the overall good for the team.
From the very beginning of the forming of the HI team for the optometrist clinics, there needs to be a specific agreed upon ground rules, an action plan, meeting times agreed upon, and deliverables from each team member. If the team veers off the agreed-upon course, the team itself can course correct by using the tools from the first meeting, the ground rules, action plan, etc.
Team dysfunction number five, inattention to results. Team members naturally tend to put their own needs, such as ego, career development, recognition, ahead of the collective goals of the team when individuals are not held accountable. If a team has lost sight of the need for achievement, the business ultimately suffers. When we think of trust, we normally think in terms of reliability. I trust that if I do X, then Y will occur. I trust that if I ask Ray to do something, then he'll get it done on time. I trust that if I assign a work item to Randy, he'll complete it within our company's expectation of quality. But in this scenario, we're talking about a different trust, one that maybe is a bit more touchy-feely. For example, the confidence among team members that peers' intentions are good and that there is no reason to be protective or careful around the group. Building a layer of trust within a team is crucial to a team achieving results. It's the foundation layer that all other dysfunctions ride in on. When you don't have that trust level between coworkers, you end up with people that feel they need to put on their Superman costume every day. They need to be invulnerable, but that leads to defensiveness and attitudes of survival more than cooperative thriving. Organizational structure and culture. We'll talk about corporate commitment and personal commitment. Corporate commitment. If the decision makers, leaders, and owners of a team do not buy into this, then it doesn't matter. You can throw in the towel right now. Think about it. Even if you trusted your coworkers completely, if you didn't have the trust of your leaders, then where does that leave you? How many of us have worked for a small startup company where we always question the owner's motives? Do they really want to grow the company, or do they just want to get the job done by someone, make their money, and not care if we could lose our jobs? How many of us worked in an organization where we felt we were going to make our bosses look good instead of pushing ahead the overall good of the company? But you see, this is the catch. Those decision makers, leaders, and owners are part of a team too, and that team needs to buy into the idea of trust just like all the other teams do. It's a corporate commitment, not an area commitment. Trust needs to be something focused on every day at every level of an organization, Otherwise, it's just like having a house with only a partially strong foundation.
In the previous scenario with the optometrist's business, the optometrist that owns the clinics has a commitment to improve operations by purchasing an electronic billing system that will enable to send accurate and timely bills to the patients.
Personal commitment. As much as you need buy-in from the higher-ups, it ultimately comes down to what you do. Each member of the team needs to make trust their personal commitment and hold each other accountable to that commitment as well. Trust is something that needs to be talked about, that needs to be communicated, that needs to be out in the open, and issues with trust need to be dealt with. If issues aren't dealt with, then you risk creating a multi-tiered culture in your organization. Lencioni states, quote, "I work at a place like this. The perception was that the owners showed favor to a handful of employees. Everyone in the company saw this, but it was never really dealt with or discussed openly. Instead, those in the outer circle formed their own team. They bonded together, discussed openly, and created a high level of trust. However, insert anyone from the inner circle into the mix, and defenses were raised. Why? Because there was no guarantee that their inner circle members had good intentions, or that their focus was for the team as a whole, or that they wouldn't go running back to the ownership with a tattletale list. Of course, this also shows the importance of buying into trust at higher levels as well." Unquote.
Continuing with the HIT scenario, the clinic staff is committed to this vision of the optometrist by understanding that the system will be able to easily chart on a patient's clinic visit. The office manager is committed to finding the best billing system available. The eyeglass salesman has a commitment by understanding if the system chosen has the ability to indicate which patients had bought eyeglasses from the clinic, he can increase revenue by increasing sales to those who went elsewhere for their eyeglasses.
In summary, it's hard discussing this topic on its own. When you take a step back and see all the dysfunctions, you realize how they interweave together. But for the purpose of this post, we'll sum it up this way. If you don't have trust, your team will never achieve its top potential. Your team will never achieve the type of goals they might be able to do if they didn't have to spend so much time defending themselves or worrying that their ideas and thoughts might be rejected. Trust ultimately starts with each one of us, but implementing trust individually in an atmosphere of mistrust can be daunting, maybe even dangerous. Involve the team leaders, involve your coworkers, and ultimately gauge whether the team you're on is worth trying to save. Of course, if you don't think they are, then maybe it's time to find a new team. Let's talk about signs and symptoms of team dysfunction. If you're part of a team, you develop a sixth sense for knowing when dysfunction has crept in. The signs are clear, even though you can't see vital body language or hear side conversations. People start making excuses for missing the weekly conference calls, or maybe they don't even bother to RSVP. When people do show up, they grunt monosyllabic responses as they pound away on their keyboards. Conversations that take place are often stilted and terse, with little real interaction. When people commit to deliverables, they sometimes renege without warning. When you try to discover what's wrong, members politely refute the notion that anything is awry. Let's talk about dysfunctional team leadership symptoms and warnings. There are five that I will discuss that include symptoms of dysfunction. First, dictatorial leadership. This is management that does not allow disagreements out of insecurity or arrogance. Second, no 360-degree feedback. There is limited or no team performance feedback from subordinates, peers, and/or superiors. Thirdly, personal agendas. Recruitments, selections, and promotions are based on an internal political agenda, for example, hiring friends to guarantee personal loyalty at the expense of other higher-performing and more qualified employees. Political compensation. Stock options, bonuses, and perks are not fairly linked to performance. And lastly, inefficient use of resources. Budgets are allocated between business units or departments based on favoritism and power centers rather than the actual business needs. Symptoms of dysfunction, I talked about five. Let's talk about a few more. Empire building practices. Managers believe that the more people they manage, the bigger the budget, the higher the chance they will be promoted. This results in raging battles around budgets, strategies, and operations. Let's talk about unequal workload distribution. You'll find some departments are underutilized while other departments are overloaded. Another symptom of dysfunction would be too much management. There are many management layers in the organization, thus hindering communication and resulting in slower execution. What about another dysfunction titled fragmented organizational efforts? This is interdepartment competition and turf wars between rival managers, leading to the emergence of silos, which results in communication gaps. Management silos almost always result in fragmented and duplicated budgets and projects, thus wasting valuable company investments. And another dysfunction would be too much talk. Plans are heavy on talk but light on action. In a political corporate culture, image management becomes far more important than actions. Other dysfunctions? Ineffective meetings. Argumentative and heated cross-division meetings with discussion and language focused on point scoring and buck passing rather than sharing responsibility and collaborating to solve the problem. Another dysfunction is lack of collaboration. Every person for himself or herself. Low sense of unity or camaraderie on the team. The key criterion for decision-making is, what's in it for me? Low productivity. Management wastes more time and energy on internal attack and defense strategies instead of executing the work, innovating, and overcoming challenges. Critical projects fall behind on deadlines, budgets, and performance targets. Another dysfunction is constant crisis mode. Management team spends most of their time on firefighting instead of proactive planning for next-generation products and services. Let's talk about morale deterioration. Reduced level of commitment and enthusiasm by other team members. Even successful results cannot be shared and celebrated due to animosity and internal negative competition. Have you heard of backstabbing? This is backbiting among the executives and managers that becomes very common in public. And another dysfunction is highly stressful workplace. You might see a high rate of absenteeism and a high employee turnover rate.
So let's talk about goals for dysfunctional teams. Using the previous scenario, the optometrist team has had many bumps to get over, but they are finally on the right track with their charge of finding the best electronic billing system for the clinics. They have decided to join forces and put all individual motives aside for choosing the system. The optometrist is now fully engaged and willing to admit she doesn't really understand the functions of billing, what all it entails, just that it's a vital piece of the business. The office manager is ecstatic that her knowledge is being used. Discussions can take place without feeling attacked. The minute taker is now using digital recording to capture the discussions, and decision points and minutes are sent to the team within 24 hours of the meeting. A question, has this dysfunctional team become functional?
Now we will talk about strategies to manage dysfunctional teams. First of all, state your observations with specific examples and express your concerns. Start by sending an email with a strongly worded header to implore people to attend the next meeting. In your header and in the first few lines of your message, state your observations about the team's behavior. For example, I have noticed that many people have dropped off our calls. People who attend are not really present. Some of you are reneging on promises and others are declining to pitch in to help others as you used to. As a result, I feel like the team is falling apart. I am asking that all of you fully participate in our next meeting so that we can explore the real issues and decide what we can do to get ourselves back on track. Next, then follow up with a phone call to make sure people have read your message and plan to attend. Another strategy is to listen intently. Once on the call, describe in more detail the kind of behavior you're noticing that's causing the team to deflate. Leave room for silence and reflection. If no one responds after a while, ask for validation. Are they seeing things the same way? Is there something you are not seeing? You may start by acknowledging some of your own issues. For example, you haven't had enough time to provide thoughtful feedback to everyone lately, or you have a new manager who is pulling you in multiple directions. By sharing your own perspective, you can encourage others to discuss their own barriers to participation. Another strategy is to create a safe discussion space. Consider opening up a text-based chat session where participants can make entries anonymously to proceed, augment, or follow up on a real-time phone discussion. Craft some carefully worded questions to elicit honest responses without inhibition. Include a variety of questions such as, on a scale of 1 to 10, how energized do you feel to be part of this team today? One of the toughest challenges I face in fully participating on this team is fill in the blank. One of the greatest rewards of being on this team is fill in the blank. Providing an avenue for anonymous written comments may help create a level playing field among different cultural or personality types. Let's try another strategy. This would be crystallize the underlying problems. Your team has identified symptoms that are preventing real collaboration. Now it's time to name the real problems that are causing the behavior. You can try doing this on a team call, especially if your team has had demonstrated a high degree of trust for each other and for you in the past. You might also try using a web conference tool to enable anonymous input. Alternatively, you can ask someone who is not part of your team to interview team members in confidence. After all, if you are perceived to be the problems, members will be reticent to say much on a team call regardless of the vehicle. As a team, set priorities for problem solving, starting with problems that have the greatest impact on the team's performance. Other strategies. Let's collaborate on best solutions. Once the team has developed a deeper understanding about the dysfunctional behaviors and the underlying problems, it's time to brainstorm solutions. Generate ideas for at least a few quick hits right away, such as arranging a meeting time more convenient to all, or setting up a team portal for easier document sharing. Tackle the tougher issues next, such as reducing the amount of rework required when the organization shifts direction again, or identifying resources outside of the team who can be tapped in to help certain circumstances. Document the related actions of responsible people and keep the team updated as to your collective progress. Try using a web conference tool to elicit an impressive array of ideas in a short time. Another strategy is to seek commitments to be part of the change. Elicit from each team member specific actions she will take to lead to more successful team collaboration. These commitments should be made to the entire team. For example, a team member who habitually skips the weekly team meeting might make a commitment to be present at least 75% of the time. Or the person who multitasks her way through every call might promise to clear her desk and calendar and might be fully present at the future meetings. The person who says yes to everything but fails to deliver almost every time might promise to be honest about what he can take on and will alert everyone as soon as possible if he was being unrealistic about what he could deliver. Another strategy, take the team's temperature often. If a team has been allowed to drift apart for any length of time, it may take attempts to get them back on course. Find a variety of ways to check in, both as a team and with individuals. Try a simple periodic phone call to each member to check in, or ask for feedback on a call. You can also try using some sort of online tool that allows all members to provide a few quick responses, the results which you can be later shared with the team. Of course, observing the team's performance against agreed-upon measurements may be the best indicator as to whether the team is collaborating successfully. Another strategy, reach out to disaffected individuals personally. Some people will be harder to turn around than others. In some cases, you may have to let go of those whose behaviors are toxic to effective remote collaboration. Take the time and energy to reach out personally with greater frequency for those whose active participation is vital. Make calls, send emails, or make them face-to-face if possible. Express your concern, lend your support, and provide honest feedback. You want to be honest about your frustration or disappointment, emphasizing the impact to the work of the team. At the same time, you need to praise their knowledge and skills so critical for the team to achieve its goals. Strategies to continue to manage dysfunctional teams. Here's another one, and this would be consciously model best practices behavior. To do this, treat team meetings as the most important event on your calendar. Let people know what's expected of them in advance. Come prepared with an agenda and stick to it. Check in to see how people are doing. Project enthusiasm, energy. Applaud the team and individual achievements for both large and small. Make team meetings engaging and productive. Use technology wisely when it can accelerate results, elicit needed input, or otherwise increase effectiveness and efficiency of each team. Respond promptly to emails with insightful information. Admit when you feel you're falling short of expectations and explain why. The best way to overcome dysfunctional behavior of remote teams is to nip it in the bud. To do this, you need to develop antennas sensitive enough to alert you to the first sign of trouble. So if people have stopped exchanging ideas in meetings or if team members are ignoring emails from others, check in with the team as soon as possible. Be direct about what you're observing, articulate the impact to the team and its shared goals, and declare what you need to have the team to do as a result. Let's do a group think strategy. Have you heard of a road to Abilene? It's when a group collectively decided to do something which no individual in the group really wanted to do. The term comes from Abilene paradox, demonstrated by the story of a family who decides to travel 53 miles north to Abilene for ice cream. On the way back, they begin arguing after realizing that none of them really wanted to go in the first place. Lessons learned from the road to Abilene. 1. avoid false consensus. 2, overcome the fear of speaking out. And thirdly, encourage effective decision-making within the group. At this time, we'll talk about results, awards expected from managing a dysfunctional team. Striving to create a functional, cohesive team is one of the few remaining competitive advantages available to any organization looking for a powerful point of differentiation. Functional teams avoid wasting time talking about the wrong issues and revisiting the same topics over and over again because of lack of buy-in. Functional teams also make higher quality decisions and accomplish more in less time and with less distraction and frustration. In summary, embracing common sense and uncommon levels of discipline and persistence make successful teamwork. By acknowledging the issues and problems of team members, members of functional teams overcome the natural tendencies that make teamwork so challenging and non-transparent. Successful teams, players rarely leave organizations where they are part of a cohesive team. Teams succeed because they are exceedingly human.